Hey guys, it's Heath Mulliken. I want to say welcome to all of our patrons to the April 10th edition of South Carolina Pro Wrestling Report Behind the Scenes. I am live in our Facebook group for the first time. Normally don't do this live in Facebook, but I'm also just recording audio. So you might be watching this live, you might be catching it later. But whenever you're watching it, thank you so much for your continued support of the show. It is greatly, greatly appreciated. Let me say, first of all, went live for the regular show, went live in there in the wrestling you grew up with. Man, just had some couple of guys trolling me about, you know, I guess there was a wardrobe malfunction or something at WrestleMania, and just, oh man, so I had to deal with that, and it just threw me off a little bit. Once I took care of that, man, I'm trying to delete comments, delete, and block dudes, and it was crazy. So, Brian, what's up, man? Hope you got some sleep between yesterday and today, but I know probably not. Hey, so I just saw in between, you know, just in like the 3 minutes between recording the regular show and getting in here, kind of let me hit on some WWE stuff real quick. So there's a story coming out that the Roman Reigns promo last night was a shoot. Here's what Meltzer wrote about the Lesnar-Reigns match. And I'm reading here from, this is from Ringside News, but this is something Dave Meltzer said. I mean, literally nobody backstage knew he was going to win. The referee was told during the match to count to three. So he knew Lesnar was winning, but not until he was actually in the ring and the match was going on. So that tells you how far they went with this one. But everyone else thought Roman Reigns was going to win. Roman Reigns did a promo on Raw, and I don't know exactly how much of a shoot that was when he was talking about not knowing and Vince not looking him in the eye and all that, but it's obviously a promo because they want you to know it was a promo to make you read between the lines. So just some absolute craziness. But here's – all right, so here's what I think. Okay, we have 37 years of Vince McMahon business practices, 37 years of data, of research, of how he conducts business. We know, you know, he we saw in the Montreal Screwjob, the links he's willing to do, what he's willing to do for the business. So I just said, man, this is me. I just have a hard time believing this. I just do. I mean, I'm not saying it couldn't happen, but it just goes completely against what we've seen from Vince. I mean, the biggest, complaint about Vince is he is set in his ways. We're talking about a dude, Vince McMahon leaves nothing to chance. Even with the Montreal Screwjob, he had all his bases covered. And to Vince's credit, he knew at the end of the night, Bret Hart was going to punch him. Bret Hart was probably going to kick his butt. And he was fine with that. So this is the guy that we're talking about. And so if you're trying to tell me that Vince just kind of left all of this to chance, and Mark messaged me, I think we, in the WrestleMania thread the other night, Mark even said, hey, the rumor going around is they were going to wait on the crowd reaction. Vince knew 100% what this, Vince knew 100%. Brian's got a great point. What if some of this weekend wasn't booked by Vince? I don't know. Like, that's the great thing is I don't know. There's so many things. Everybody wants to know every little detail. And like with the WWE, like there's some things I like not knowing. Now with like all this South Carolina, North Carolina, I like knowing because I come here and tell you guys. But I just wanted to share, you know, I mean, this thing is just kind of taking on a life on its own. And here's the thing, like, it's just this it's just this cycle that we're in. And I, man, who knows, like, you know, who knows who's feeding the information or whatever, but it's crazy. And Brian, how are you, man? Good to see you, brother. So, hey, while we're on Mania, let's talk about WrestleMania. Has become so much bigger than just what WWE does. You have WrestleCon, which is put on by High Spots. WrestleCon basically takes over an arena, you know, a kind of a convention center, hotel area. They take that over. They've got WrestleCon, which is just this huge, I mean, they had Stone Cold Steve Austin there this year. Right. You're totally right, Brian, that the blurring of the line, like this. I think you're right, Brian. Like, the now kayfabe is, it's not that behind the scenes is hidden, is what they're trying to make you think is happening behind the scenes. Yeah, I think you're right, man. It's a new era, and they just want people talking. Buzz is buzz. And they definitely had people talking, and that's the point. Hey, listen, the talk yesterday was over 2 million subscribers to the WWE Network. Brian, you're one of those guys. You know, you're like me. You don't watch a lot of the WWE stuff. I thought WrestleMania was good as well. So WrestleCon, put on by High Spots, and I know that, you know, Brian Kanabrowski, a lot of his team from PWX, they helped produce a lot of the WrestleCon shows. I think there was a Wildcat show, like tons of shows just related to WrestleCon. Then you had WWN, who kind of took over the Pontchartrain Center, and they were running shows there, and they were running with lots of different promotions. I mean, Game Changer Wrestling had a great week. They did Matt Riddle's Blood Sport. They did Joey Janela's Spring Break 2. There was just a load of wrestling, and a lot of networking takes place at these events. 8 shows in 3 days. Yeah, it was crazy. I don't know, people that go to WrestleMania and try to, like, it's impossible. You can't see all the shows because there's shows, multiple shows happening at the same time. And then you had, you know, Ring of Honor, you know, during their thing, Ring of Honor drawing over 6,000 people, their largest crowd in history. But it was, I mentioned this on the other show, it was this crazy thing. You had 500 at this show and 1,000 at this show and 6,000 for Ring of Honor, and then 2 sold out, or 4 sold out nights, you know, for WWE, you know, with TakeOver and WrestleMania and Raw and SmackDown. And then you had, like I said, Style Battle, which some local guys were on. Tracer X was on that show. Drew 50, 60 people. I actually listened to a podcast, and if you don't know, I'm getting way off topic, but that's cool. I mean, I hope we're talking about stuff maybe you guys don't talk about a lot. So Style Battle was this conception, because, all right, Flow Slam invests in WWN. They give them X amount of dollars to produce a certain amount of content. So in doing that, WWN comes up with different concepts. Style Battle was one of them, that they were going to do these different one-night tournaments, and then it was going to be like a season, and then at the end of the season, you have the season finale where all the individual winners show up, and they have a one-night tournament to crown the ultimate winner. Kudos to WWN, because everybody knows Flow Slam crashed and burned. That relationship no longer there, but WWN went ahead and finished it out. I listened to a podcast by a guy named Dylan Hales, who lives in the Chattanooga area, does a lot of work with that. There's that corridor of, like, Indiana, Kentucky, Tennessee, Georgia. There's that corridor of wrestling that, like, I am just not super familiar with. And Dylan is one of those guys with a lot of connections, works with the Scenic City Invitational, which I'll be at this year. But Dylan actually did, he went to all the WWN shows and, like, did a podcast after all of them. And his thoughts on Style Battle was it was one of the best booked shows because they wrapped everything up. I mean, because it was like this season, the only problem with Style Battle, several of their winners from that throughout the year couldn't be there. There were some injuries. But I sound like to say, man, WrestleMania is just this crazy, crazy week. Brian says the Super Show was Big Gate Rev Pro. See, Rev Pro, one of those promotions I'm not super familiar with. You had the Impact Wrestling and Lucha Underground event that happened. So, yeah, just this crazy, crazy week. It's like Christmas. It's like every great holiday for a wrestling fan. And, I mean, if you're a wrestling fan, you go to that, man. It is a sprint and a marathon combined into one. But I'm going to tell you, like, a lot of the things, again, I can't divulge everything, but there was a lot of great opportunities there. And I think there are some things that will come out of conversations at WrestleCon and WrestleMania week that's going to be great things for Carolina's wrestling fans. I think it's going to mean we're going to see things in our area we haven't seen before or seen in a long time. And so I'm really, really excited, as a wrestling fan, to see the relationships that come out of this WrestleMania week, because there's like a, and I'll talk about a little bit when I talk about roster shakeups. There's a domino effect, and in this sense is a good thing. So all the shows that were all the shows that happened WrestleMania week, all the ones put on by WrestleCon, High Spots, they're on the High Spots Network. All the WWN shows were on their network and also on the Fight app. So, this has not been announced publicly yet. April 21st, partnership with SOS Custom Tees. We're going to be launching a streaming network that's going to feature wrestling from the Carolinas. However, the way that we're doing the streaming service, and a lot of it comes from my experiences with the different streaming services. A lot of times when I go and I see it's a three and a half hour show, I just want to get to, I don't have 3.5 hours a lot of times to sit through a whole show. There's just certain matches that I want to get to. And so one of the thoughts behind this network is we're just trying to figure out how do people want to consume wrestling content in 2018? How do people, what, not just who do they want to see, what type of matches do they want to see, but how and when are they jumping on their device or jumping on the internet and consuming wrestling content? So with that in mind, when we launch this, everything that's on there is going to be singular matches. It won't be like full 2-hour, 3-hour cards. It'll just be the main matches. And then we're also doing other content. We're reaching out to people. Kind of my dream for this, I would love, I'm not just talking about shoot interviews. Like I'm thinking, dude, I would love to see, I don't want to say like a scripted comedy, that's not what I mean, but like I would love to see, I want to create a network where if a local guy has an idea for a show, not a wrestling show even, just a show, a video show, that we give them an avenue to pursue that and kind of follow that. And so, we're continually building our database of wrestling content to put on there, adding commentary to matches that didn't have commentary before, things like that. But I'm super excited. It's a lot of work, but it's a lot of fun. It has really kind of got my creativity going. We just filmed, one of the shows that we're going to put on there. And again, it's a 30-35 minute show. It's just when the first episode that we're going to launch is, Boomer Payne and I in the car talking about entrance music and just some of the best entrance music ever, what, the importance of theme music, or is it important or not? It was a great conversation. But again, we're just trying what, you know, we talked about it earlier. You know, Brian commented, there's this blurring of the lines. And so what kind of, we want to present content in a way that's not presented this way anywhere else with the individual matches. But then we're also, like I said, just what content are people looking for? Like, what are people interested in? Are they interested in behind-the-scenes stuff? And so I'm really, really excited. It's a lot of it is, you know, a lot of it is an experiment. And so I think it's going to be a really, really fun thing. The great news for all of our patrons is when this launches, you guys will all get a coupon code that will allow you to get this network at a discounted price. We're using the same model. AML has their own network. We're using this. PWX has their own network, and then they also share their stuff with Highspots, which is something we're looking into as well. So we want our content to be in as many places as possible. But we're going to be using the same services there, so as them, so you know it's going to be, you know, quality streaming service. And again, I'm just really, really excited to see where this goes, and to just kind of, you know, just some ideas that have been percolating, which I'm pretty sure just percolating. I'm excited just to kind of see where some of those goes. So yeah, it's going to be pretty fun, and that's going to launch April the 21st at the Battle Zone show there. So here's last thing. Let's talk about some roster shakeup. So there's three kind of areas of this that I want to talk about. First has to do with an injury. A lot of you guys know, I mentioned it several weeks ago. Big Country's been in the hospital now for probably 2 weeks. Pretty serious situation with him. Actually, as I am recording this, I think he's getting ready to go into surgery. That affects three local promotions. Big Country, a big part. Actually, four promotions, because Big Country, he's the PCW heavyweight champion. So you have that, and they've kind of taken Kevin Ray, who's their secondary champion, the Soda City champion. They put him in that spotlight, kind of. He's carrying the torch there, which is a great opportunity for that young man. Big Country was getting ready to be involved probably in the main angle of EWF, an angle I was really, really excited for, where Big Country suspended. They kind of do the Midnight Rider thing. He comes back. Really interested to see what comes of that. Big Country was supposed to be the PWX Pure show coming up. Now, I mean, I'm hoping Big Country has surgery today. He has a fast recovery, and by the end of April, May, he's back in the ring. Would love to see that. I mean, that's what I'm hoping. And then Big Country's also been a part of APW. So that kind of injury, how does that affect? Because, again, you know, Big Country was an integral part of all of those companies he was in. Then there's other companies that I don't cover in North Carolina that he was a heavyweight champion for. So, again, you know, that one injury has kind of changed plans for lots of people, so it's going to be interesting to see how that all plays out. I talked about earlier the opportunities for guys stemming from WrestleMania. There are going to be a lot of Carolina guys who, because of the networking at WrestleMania, start getting opportunities outside of the Carolinas, perhaps some opportunities overseas. There were a lot of overseas representatives and promotions here at WrestleCon, at WrestleMania. So what happens then? You got these guys kind of moving to different areas. In the Carolinas, that opens up more opportunities for some young guys. Guys that maybe have not gotten a shot with a PWX or with an APW or with a Battle Zone or with Three Count, as guys are getting booked elsewhere and expanding their resume and unavailable for Carolina's bookings, that's an awesome thing. It's awesome for those guys getting those opportunities, and it's awesome for the spots that open up in different promotions. So I'm telling you, man, there's enough promotions, there's enough roster spots. Everybody can prosper. I mean, that's like, this is not a thing where, you know, everybody can prosper. So I'm really, really excited to see, you know, some. I mean, we saw, you know, John Schuyler, Carolina guy, on Monday Night Raw, taking on another Carolina's guy, No Way Jose, who, if I'm not mistaken, got started in CWF Mid-Atlantic up in North Carolina. So, yeah, I mean, now the question is, which guys are getting themselves ready? Like, when that spot opens up, who is going to be ready for that? Like, who's going to be ready for prime time? Because when that spot opens up, you can't get in there and crap the bed. You got to get in there and hit a home run. Because then a lot of times, man, you might get one shot. You might get one shot at a show. I mean, I heard a story. One of the recent shows, promotion brought in a guy, and what, you know, in one word from the booker, we will never book this guy again, because of his attitude, because of his in-ring work, just all around, the guy made about as bad an impression as you can make. And so you got to take advantage. You got to make the most of these opportunities. I'm excited for Pro Wrestling Turbo coming up May 25th. I'm going to miss that show because of a scheduling conflict. I'm going to be at Seneca Fest that night with Golden Corner Wrestling and Al Snow. But you got Pro Wrestling Turbo bringing in guys like Chip Day and bringing in Wheeler Yuta, who, again, from this area, but had been wrestling kind of, or maybe gone to school in this area. There's some connection here. But again, Pro Wrestling Turbo giving some different guys opportunities that maybe they – so there you go. Brian, you know, your connections, you kind of know, you know, the Carolinas are – it's like the minor leagues. You know guys are going to get caught up. You kind of have an idea. We all know who's getting – who could get caught up and who's not going to get – caught up. So, man, which promotions can be prepared to fill those slots? And that leads me to just kind of last thing I just want to touch on briefly is one promotion in particular dealing with a lot of drama, and drama on several fronts. I'll be able to share more details of this probably in the next couple of weeks. But just some craziness. And again, a lot of it stems from bad choices, poor choices, by talent who, you know, what are you there to do? Are you there for business? Are you there to wrestle? Are you there to hone your craft and build your character and help the company draw? Or are you there for personal reasons that are going to interfere with the business? And the more people I talk to, like, you even go to, I'm not sharing anything that nobody knows. You know, Roger Gleaton, the promoter for CWA, going through a divorce, and so he hasn't been running this year. And I was talking to somebody, and they were just kind of listening to me, the promotions in the Carolinas that folded because of personal drama, relationship issues. I'm not even talking about this guy and this guy's got heat. I'm talking about this guy sleeping with this guy's wife. It's stupid, crazy stuff, and that's part of the perception of independent wrestling, that all this crazy stuff goes on, and it's a perception because it's true. That's the reality. Like, the reality is, like, people cannot, it's like they let their personal desires and their the temptations like get in the way of what we're trying to do. And we're trying to put on a great wrestling show, trying to draw a good crowd, trying to build our product, trying to get better in the ring. And it's like, they guys just throw that away for just stupid, stupid stuff. And in some cases, illegal stuff. Or stuff that maybe, at the depth of it, is innocent, but on the surface, looks horrible. So, anyway, it's just crazy, man. And it's just... And I'm telling you, it typically, just drama, man. Just so much drama. And how, you know, now, I mean, this promotion, I think they're taking steps to boom, 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 deal with it. And there you go. Yeah, is the promotion being run as a business, or you know, is it you know being run because oh you know it feels good? I feel like there are. I've said this before, and I've said this about myself. There are a lot of people running wrestling promotions in the Carolinas that would be better off just buying a ticket and being a fan. I put myself in that category. I was better off being a fan. And I had a conversation with somebody yesterday with I was talking to Boomer and just part of the renewed enjoyment that I have for wrestling comes from I think I was chasing something that I didn't need to be chasing, and I was also not that I didn't need to be chasing, not that it was wrong, but I was chasing something and trying to accomplish something that maybe my personality and my skills weren't going to allow me to achieve. And so I'm trying to figure out my skills, my personality, relationships, whatever, pursuing something else, something like this show and just building relationships with people and trying to talk about Carolina's wrestling in a way that isn't being talked about on other shows. So it's just been a lot more enjoyable for me and just building the relationships and I feel like I'm a good customer service guy. I feel like, any promotion that I help with or work with, I feel like I can build relationships with the fans. I feel like I can kind of be that buffer between management and the customer. And I just feel like that's something I'm good at. And so I'm having fun. And I hope I'm not trying to be something that I'm not. I know that at the core of who I am, I am a fan, and I'm just blessed to have the relationships I do with everybody, man. Dude, we just started this podcast as a hobby, and it's just opened up a lot of doors and opportunities. And wrestling is supposed to be fun, and it was making me pretty miserable. And a lot of that, you know, comes back to me and. Again, just not understanding myself and my role in things, and it's all a learning curve. But I'm just telling you, man, it's exciting because, I mean, the next 3 weeks, it's like boom, 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 show upon show upon show upon show, and good shows and people getting opportunities, and I'm really excited. I'm excited about some of the roster shakeups. I'm excited guys wrestling in new promotions. I think that's great. I mean, one of my biggest criticisms about Carolina wrestling in the first quarter, January, February, March, was that we were getting a lot of overlap with talent, and which is fine. I mean, I want guys to have opportunities, but we just need a little more variety, and there's enough spots, there's enough talent to make that happen. And wrestling is, people just gotta, you gotta have confidence. Guys want a little bit of security. I totally understand that. But again, there's a lot of spots. And then at the end of the day, man, the cream's going to rise to the top, and guys who are able to connect with the audience. Guys are who are able to make their opponent look like $1 million, whether that's through athleticism or storytelling or just getting really good heat or really good reaction, or in some cases a combination of all of that, those guys are going to get the opportunities. The cream always rises to the top. The cream always rises to the top. I think Macho Man said that. The cream always rises to the top. Yeah, you know, sorry. I'm not. I'll leave the impersonations to other people. Mark Whitman does a great Macho Man. Thank you for your comments. Again, this is the first time we've done this Facebook Live in the group. So thank you for all your comments. Hit me up on Twitter at Heath Mulliken or just right here in the Facebook group. Again, thank you for your continued support of the Double Dropkick Show and the South Carolina Pro Wrestling Report. Love hearing from you guys. Love talking with you. And hope to see many of you at shows coming up this weekend. So this is Heath, and we'll see you soon.